With only 2 weeks until WrestleMania, WWE has ramped up the intensity on both brands. As Triple H delivers a top-level heel promo, Seth has seemingly finally gotten over as a true babyface, and also, Brock seems to be destined for that Universal Championship at WrestleMania. Is there any chance Goldberg can retain? All of this plus my in-depth review of Raw, SmackDown Live, and a very special announcement right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The Big Dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, no! Oh my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gave Stephanie the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. We're going to talk everything WWE. Of course, big week, big couple of weeks coming. But before I do, I just want to give some love to our sponsor, Body Envy Fitness. So we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, it's all wall-to-wall WWE. Stay right here. Hey guys, so listen, you know that I'm a huge fitness enthusiast, and that's why I recommend to you Body Envy Fitness. You can check them out at bodyenvyfitness.trainerize.com. They offer personal training and meal plans, and the meal plans are created by dietitians that can cater to almost any dietary need. Whether you're vegan, paleo, vegetarian, it doesn't matter. Every training plan gets customized to each client's needs. Personal training is delivered right to your phone via your app through Trainerize. It has 100% support throughout the entire training plan. And you can get revisions if you're not satisfied with the workout plan. There's no gym membership or expensive equipment needed. If you sign up through this ad, you can get a 15% discount. So check out Body NV, that's the letters nvfitness.trainerize.com. They offer 12-week beginner programs no matter where you're at in your fitness journey. They have an online coaching plan, weight loss challenge groups, or you can just get the meal plan by itself. There's nothing more important than getting support during your weight loss journey. I can tell you right now from personal experience that bodyenvyfitness.trainerize.com is where you want to go to get all of your weight loss needs and a support group that is there with you every step of the way. So check them out at Body Envy Fitness. That's body, the letters nvfitness.trainerize.com. And you can also check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/bodyenvyfitness. All right, guys, welcome back and let's talk about WWE. Let's jump into it. In a week that was, you know, I've been listening to other podcasts, and maybe that's to my own downfall that I've been doing that. But listening to some of these podcasts, I've heard a lot of negativity on SmackDown this week, and I think it's rightly deserved in some respects. And I think the most glaring eyesore, elephant in the room, bad decision by WWE, and I really don't enjoy piling on. But in some cases, it's just so head-scratchingly absurd and just dumbfounded that I need to jump on the pile. Okay, I'd hate riding this bandwagon, and this is something I brought up before I heard any of these top-level podcasts, and I think you guys know a couple of them that are out there, and they're great. But I don't want people to think I'm just riding their coattails, but man, you can't have an angle that you're supposed to believe is real, and then have a camera placed in an area that there is no reason to have a camera there. And suddenly WWE can just access that footage just for a nice shot in a video package, which is all that this was for, is clearly just so they can have a nice video package put together and be as dramatic as possible, having the camera in a video package for WrestleMania. It's not worth it. I don't care what WWE was trying to accomplish with that angle, other than, okay, it is a cool angle. I get it. It's another vantage point. It creates a nice alternative lens for Shane being put through the window, the car window. But it takes it's exponentially detrimental to suspending one's belief in the product when you just by chance happen to have a camera there, knowing that now WWE, it was clearly planned. It took all of the awesomeness out of that segment and threw it in the toilet and took a big crap on that segment. That literally is what happened. There's no other way to put it. It's almost as bad as when Enzo showed up to meet Lana in the hotel, that the camera was already there before Enzo walked in. It's almost as bad as, or it's even worse of an offense, because you could have said, well, maybe the camera followed Lana, but they're in the room and Rusev doesn't care. I don't know. So that's as bad as that was. This is even worse, because we're supposed to believe that there's just this camera in there. And it just, the bottom line is, this is the production crap that is eating away at the believability of the product. And I get it. It's pro wrestling. The WWE knows, the fans know, everybody knows that they know, that we know, that they know it's not real. I understand that. They understand that. But here's the thing. If they're trying to be marketing geniuses and they're trying to be win an award for a television production, you can't do that by cannibalizing your own product that reminds people that they're watching something not real. I don't watch a movie that has the TV or the movie producer wink, wink, nod, nod at you during the movie to remind you it's not real. You can't do that and have it succeed as a product. These are the things that I know that are minute, and it only took up a couple of seconds for the shot. But it is so large and so telling of what WWE believes and their mindset of getting that shot is worth more than actually people investing in that particular segment. That getting that shot for the video package, and it's a great angle and it's cool, and it is. But I'm not watching the product to be reminded the product isn't real. I don't know. I would have loved to have sat there in the meetings and have somebody explain to me why in the hell that was a good idea to do. And I know it's small, and I know it only took a couple of seconds up, but it is a larger macro issue when you are reminding people throughout the show, and this is just one mechanism, although it's a bad one, of showing people. It's the same thing when you had, and somebody tweeted this out, of The Rock, when Mankind put the forklift on him and suddenly there's a camera under the forklift to see The Rock being crushed by the forklift during their empty arena match how many years ago. It's that kind of crap. Having cameras in Undertaker's coffin, things like this. Like, just I don't know where WWE is coming up with the logic and the rationale to say, that's a good idea. I mean, oh, hell, everyone knows it's fake anyway. Let's just get a cool angle. No, I don't. Everybody knows it's not real. We all know that nobody's really trying to hurt each other. But once in a while, you want to get caught up in the story. That's what wrestling's about. You want to get caught up in the emotion. You want to get caught up in the story. You want to care about these characters. And when you have the production company, WWE, putting this on, staging this, and having a camera predetermined there that you know wouldn't have been there otherwise, it just, it cannibalizes their own product, They can say it's, well, everyone knows it's fake, but we still want to invest. There's part of us. That's why we watch wrestling. It's the kid inside of you that still wants to believe. It's like believing in Santa Claus. You still kind of, you wish you still believed. And when you're watching movies and TV shows and you want to believe, you still want to get invested. If you don't believe in something, you're not going to emotionally invest. You're not going to care. So when you have the own company who is the leader in this industry do things like this, it really makes me cringe, get angry, and I don't understand how they thought. I don't care what the logic was. The trade-off for the cool angle in a video package does nothing for me. Nothing. So it killed it. And that's my open rant, guys. Quick announcement, though. I did say at the very open of the show, at the very top, that I had an announcement, and that is that I will be resuming a live show format. It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio. It was previously under Matt's Madness. It is now under the WWE Podcast. You can check me out there, so follow me. I'll be resuming live shows, maybe even do a trial show today as of February, March 17th, 2017. It is 9:50 in the morning where I am in the East Coast. So maybe I'll do a show later today if I have time. But the live show format will be returning in lieu of WrestleMania season, in lieu of hell. I enjoy and miss talking to you guys live. The live format is always, it's unfiltered, no pun intended. It's unscripted, and it just feels raw, no pun intended. Lots of wrestling terms there. So literally, guys, I do miss the format. It's coming back under a new brand, new heading, new open, everything. Everything is getting a new fresh coat of paint. So please join me on Blog Talk Radio soon. You can still subscribe, even though no shows are live yet. Some of my older Matt's Madness shows are on there and under the archive. So check it out, Blog Talk Radio under the WWE Podcast. I do appreciate it. And check out my Twitter as well, Matt's Madness, at Matt's Madness. And that's the best way to see all my announcements. You can go to WWEPodcast.com also, where all of my feeds are and everything else. So check that all out. All right, let's get a little bit in depth here, and let's talk about, as I pull up my notes here, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar come out, and Heyman's message basically was this, that he had a vision, and on April 2nd, Goldberg will fall. Heyman kind of goes on a long-winded message that while Brock goes up, Goldberg goes down, and that was pretty much the message, just to, I guess, keep things relevant. No action on Brock's end. And then Stephanie's backstage telling Mick he has till the end of the night to find someone to fire on the roster. And that continues throughout the night of Mick struggling to find someone. I'm not going to really mention it until the end of the show here. Sasha versus Dana Brooke. And one thing about my follow-up to Heyman and Lesnar and Goldberg. Many people, including myself, still believe that it's a foregone conclusion that Brock Lesnar is going to capture the Universal Championship at WrestleMania from Goldberg. And while I believe that to 95% be the case, and most likely I would bet the farm on it, and there's two things. Is there any chance in hell Goldberg retains? I would say the slightest of chances. I think it's well known that Goldberg's contract runs out at WrestleMania. On top of the fact that I think the bloom is off the rose and the nostalgia act is starting to wear off with fans, as you can hear the Goldberg Goldberg chants are not as deafening as when he first came, and that he is starting to get a bit of a negative reaction from the fans that are like, well, cool, you're back, but there's a lot of holes in your game, and being his mic work isn't always the best. His in-ring work is limited at best, and really, you know, what made him cool in the 90s and what made him very popular in the 1990s, late 90s, it doesn't really translate beyond a quick nostalgia act flash in the pan in 2017. And I think that he is leaving at the perfect time before the fans really turn on him. But at WrestleMania, and I will be there in Orlando in 2 weeks, I am very curious to see how the fans react to Goldberg. If it was my guess, it would be Goldberg is going to be... It's probably majority boos for Goldberg, knowing he's leaving. Brock is more of a legitimate athlete. And it's just how Brock wins is going to be the question. How does Brock win? And I hope it's not a 15-second masterpiece that Goldberg seems to be on, the WWE protecting him and not exposing his lack of wrestling skills and in-ring ability. But it's how Brock wins that's going to be the follow-up here. Goldberg is clearly doing the favors, doing the honors to Brock as he exits. What's curious to me, this is funny, and I think I've mentioned this before. My last WrestleMania I went to in Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 20. What was the main event? Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. The only thing missing from this time is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and this time it's for the title, Universal Championship, which obviously didn't exist back in 2004. But I really don't think that it's going to be a crowd crapping on the entire match. I don't believe it's going to happen this time, mainly because, well, both guys aren't leaving the company. It's just Goldberg this time, and Brock has accomplished a lot since leaving WWE and coming back. So I think that it's going to be probably a negative reaction, and not completely, but for Goldberg, and then Brock retains or regains that belt. And is there any chance Goldberg retains? Oh, boy, like I said, very slim. Very, very, very slim. And if he does, I expect the crowd to turn on him pretty quickly and pretty heavily. So I would say, put a gun to my head, not a chance that Brock loses, but, stranger things have happened, and I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion. It's more about how than what. So, all right, let's move along here, and let's move along in Monday Night Raw. Let's see, Triple H comes out, or no, I skipped ahead. Sasha versus Dana Brooke. Sasha wins quickly with a roll-up, which seems to be the order of the day here in WWE finishes, although DQs are pretty popular too. Charlotte calls Dana a disgrace after she loses, and she finally is getting rid of her. Dana snaps, attacks Charlotte, which the crowd enjoyed. It wasn't a monster reaction, but positive to Dana Brooke, who I think it was being nothing more than a scapegoat for Charlotte. And I think that she has a good upside. Dana has a really good look. She's good on the mic. Is she the best in the ring? No, but she has a very... as I said, a very good look, a unique look. She's kind of that strong woman, Beth Phoenix type of body, and I think that's an asset for her. The follow-up is key here for Dana. I think where they go with her from here is going to be the key to her success or failure, at least in the short term. And I hope they don't just toss her aside and forget about her over the next few weeks. So I'm very curious to see what happens with Dana and Charlotte. Maybe Dana ends up costing Charlotte at WrestleMania. Eric LeGrand is the Warrior Award recipient. Really great, really cool story there. If you guys saw it, I'm sure you enjoyed it as well. Just a very deserving individual for this award. Very sad but inspiring story of Eric LeGrand, the football player. So let's move along. Kevin Owens, who's in the spotlight. Love the spotlight look and kind of his serious, negative, nasty new Kevin Owens rather than the joking best friend of Chris Jericho. So I'm a much bigger fan of this version of Kevin Owens. And he says about 1 month ago, he put the spotlight back where it belongs. And at WrestleMania, he's taking his belt, Jericho's is, like Jericho took his. And that who needs a best friend when you have a destroyer? So key Samoa Joe. And it ends up being a tag team match of Jericho and Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. DQ finish here after Joe and Kevin Owens continuously beat down Sami and then beat down Jericho. I'm really liking the pairing of Joe and Kevin Owens. And if Triple H joins that, it could be a hell of a stable, a faction, a group, a clique, whatever. It could be that's just got really good. It's got a good vibe to it. It's not a League of Nations disaster, and that's always a good thing. It's got just credibility. It's got nastiness, and they just seem to gel with their personalities. So we'll see if that actually is indeed going to be the long-term case here. Sheamus and Cesaro versus Big Cass and Enzo for the number one contendership for the tag titles at WrestleMania. Anderson and Gallows interrupt, attack Sheamus and Cesaro on the outside, causing another DQ. Don't champions realize, when is it going to become apparent? You know, these guys are in the business. I understand it's a work, but their characters should know that if they mess with a number one contenders match and cause a DQ or a non-finish, they're going to be put in a triple threat. It's WWE law. So they destroyed both teams, Gallows and Anderson, and they ended up looking probably the strongest they have since they've debuted. And I enjoyed that. The only problem is the tag team titles don't mean a whole lot right now. And, you know, listen, the New Day, I've mentioned this before, are on the downslide. They're stale. I've said that a couple weeks now. It's time. Somebody turn on somebody. It's lived its usefulness. We got all of the juice out of the fruit that we can. It's time to move on. That's all. You know, I give WWE and all three guys, Kofi, Xavier, and Big E, all credit. All the credit in the world for everything that they've done, but it's just time. That's all. It's just, that's the cycle, and they've outlived more than anybody could have ever expected from this group, and they've exceeded expectations. And I understand it's a cash cow for WWE because kids maybe still like them, and they're maybe still selling bootios, and it's about merchandise. I get it, but it's from a character on TV perspective. It's time. It's just time. Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns. You know, look, Roman still seems to be booked as a baby here. Taker's gong causes a distraction, and Roman still prevails and hits two Superman punches for the win because two is the quota from WWE every Monday Night Raw. It's the first time I can remember, though, that the Superman punch actually finished a match, which I think that's a good thing because it now creates a little bit of doubt whenever maybe he hits it on his future opponents that it could finish the match. Roman ends up calling Taker out and instead gets HBK, and he tries to give Roman some advice that he needs to get focused. Roman showing a little bit of heel here, saying he appreciates the advice, but The Undertaker retired him. And Strowman ends up attacking Roman on the ramp. So I don't know where the hell Strowman is fitting into all of this. He's kind of on his own island here, attacking Roman, but not getting involved with Taker. Is he in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? Does he just stay off the card and make a surprise interference appearance on WrestleMania? Maybe. But it's just kind of odd that Strowman, the guy that they built for months and months and months and months, did an awesome job of it, fed him to Roman Reigns, very disappointing and angry that they did that. And they end up just kind of leaving him off the card with no match. It's frustrating, but maybe they have something larger in mind. And just on a side note, folks, it's, I guess, common knowledge now around the rumor mill, but not just the dirt sheets. It's credible sources, and I know I say that vaguely, but Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania next year is apparently the plan for the championship. Oh boy. I am a fan. Those two seem to have a good chemistry since WrestleMania 31. They had a very, very good match. I enjoyed it. And here's the thing. That's when Brock's contract is scheduled to expire is in 1 year. So if WWE is still going ahead with the babyface Roman Reigns, that's where I have a problem. Where I don't have a problem is if he's a heel facing Brock Lesnar. So that's the long-term plan. Keep an eye on it. I think that's where they're going. So Nia Jax versus Bayley. Another DQ finish, folks. We get three for the night. And Nia gets DQ'd after not listening to the ref's five count. Nia then continues to beat down. So Nia Jax getting a little bit of her mojo back. And I think that's a good thing. And maybe not putting her in that in the match at WrestleMania is not such a bad thing. I know many people wanted her there, but really it's her first year on the roster. And she really isn't one of the four horsewomen. She's kind of that outlier, but that powerful outlier. It's maybe, I think she might have, I don't know, maybe they didn't feel she was deserving just yet and putting her in a main event women's match. So, I don't know. But I like what they're doing with Nia, and I'm not a believer, and I know many people are, of getting as many people on the roster or that many people on the roster on the WrestleMania card as possible. I'm not a fan of that. And maybe, you know, if I was a wrestler or performer, excuse me, if I was a performer, like some kind of damn magician, that they seem to label these guys and gals as. I would probably say the other opposite. Like, I want to be in the WrestleMania card. Well, of course I want to be in the WrestleMania card. And I, you know, but I don't believe that you should just get everyone on the roster on the show just to get everyone on the show to have their, quote, WrestleMania moment. You know, I'm tired of hearing about WrestleMania moments. It's not about WrestleMania moments. It's not about everybody using the tagline of the ultimate thrill ride that WWE likes to come up with their marketing slogan crap. I don't need to hear every wrestler forcibly say, and your promo with, it's not just WrestleMania, it's the ultimate thrill ride. No, it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel real. This is the crap. Stop with the corporately packaged TV production. Stop. It's painful. It hurts. It's stomach churning. Just let the guys and gals go out there and be themselves. My God. Don't have them at the end of every promo, guys, just some work in that it's not just WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania, the ultimate thrill ride. And of course, that is Vince McMahon through me that I am portraying. And it's frustrating. And I just don't understand the whole deal. I just don't get it. Okay, enough. Let's move on. And again, my point was, it's not just about WrestleMania moments. I know Mojo Rawley talked about it. I know Dolph Ziggler talked about it. I know the announcers like to shove it down our throats that it's about WrestleMania moments. Okay, I understand WrestleMania moments. WrestleMania moments are very special. They are moments in time that stand still. We can go back and name some, okay? We the whole Austin Rock Hogan in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30. And they open the show. Andre slamming, or Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. One of the most iconic moments of all time, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you've seen it. We get that. I understand that. But WrestleMania moments are moments when you don't talk about them. When you don't say that you want to have a WrestleMania moment and it just happens. And then you can reflect back and say that was a WrestleMania moment. You don't project forward and say, I'm going to have a WrestleMania moment. I don't want to hear the stars, the wrestlers. I'm going to call them wrestlers because they're not superstars. They're wrestlers. Talk about athletes. Talk about worrying about having a WrestleMania moment. Instead, how about you worry about making an impact? How about you worry about winning a match? I need your character to worry about winning. I don't need your character worried about stealing the show. I don't need your character to worry about having a WrestleMania moment. I don't need that, guys. Okay. I'm on a rant like a banshee today, guys. I apologize. Let's get into SmackDown Live. And it starts with, this is a very controversial episode. Again, I wasn't as down as some people, but at the beginning, you know why I had a big problem with it. AJ and Daniel Bryan backstage, where AJ asks where Shane is, and he says he's coming out to say he's going to tell and why everyone, he's going to tell everybody why they are screwing him over. So AJ comes out to the ring and says he is tired of being messed with and makes a very compelling case about its journey in 2016. It's very compelling. You know, I'm not sitting there going, oh, this guy's a jerk. He's making crap up. He's a coward. He's a liar. No. AJ Styles, the booked heel, is making a very valid argument about his journey in 2016, which was inarguably, you know what? It's not even arguable that he had the best year out of anyone in the company. And that later tonight, he's going to have a conversation with Shane about his career, if he even has one. By the way, guys, Mauro Ranallo with the blizzard, which I ended up having to deal with. Literally, we have 2 feet of snow here in upstate New York. Welcome to March. And David Otunga, who I never miss, and I will never miss if he just falls off the face of the earth. It was refreshing with Tom Phillips and JBL and in a two-man booth. Why? Because it's a two-man booth. So do I think WWE is going to go, wow, that was much better having two men? No, it's going back to the four men, crowded, too many cooks in the kitchen, behind the desk, announcing circus next week. So, Natalia versus Becky, And again, I mentioned here, I have in my notes, I don't know why it's all about having WrestleMania moments instead of worrying about winning, but let's move on here. Becky Lynch wins via the disarmer clean. Carmella attacks Becky afterwards, and I expected after Carmella did that, that every, quote, available woman, as Daniel Bryan deemed it, to come out here, but nope, it was just Carmella. So I still don't know, and WWE still hasn't announced the format of the women's match for SmackDown and the championship. I don't know why. Maybe they don't know. They're just like, well, we want all the women. We just don't know what we want to do with them yet. I don't know. But still, there is no format of the match. Just every available woman is going to have a shot at the belt. So, fine, whatever. Special edition of Miz TV. It shows what happened last week and on Talking Smack. I enjoyed this segment. Really good here with Miz and Maryse speaking truth about Cena and Nikki. Again, the same dynamic here with AJ, that is with the Miz and Maryse. They really got me on their side and their heels. The same with Stephanie on Raw when she had a really good case against Bayley. And Charlotte had a really good case against Bayley, that she is carrying a tainted championship. And the heels are having really good logic. They're using their brains. They have a good solid foundation to stand on for their argument. And aren't heels supposed to be cunning and manipulative and liars and backstabbers? I'm not seeing any of this here. It's just truth, and it is. So it's hard to disagree with them. I don't know. But it really got me on their side. They're talking about the contract Nikki had to sign to be John Cena's girlfriend, which is hilarious, and how Nikki blocked Maryse's contract for Total Divas and that she is untouchable since she's Cena's girlfriend. And that's what Nikki said, I guess, behind the scenes. I believe it. Cena and Nikki come out as Miz and Maryse retreat. There's a little bit of heel for you. Nikki says that Maryse is delusional and she really had the power to block contracts. Why are you standing here? Cena ends up saying nothing. And Daniel Bryan comes out and talks about wanting to punch Miz in the face and various different reasons for that. Makes a match official at WrestleMania of Nikki and John Cena versus Maryse and The Miz. So I think that is it's a match that most people kind of poo-pooed on, and I did too, because not having John Cena in the spotlight of a one-on-one is puzzling. And I think that Undertaker was maybe questionable for this year or questionable for next year. And Vince was like, hey, we got to have Roman Reigns, quote, the future of WWE, get the quote rub. I'm using a lot of air quotes. Sorry, guys. Get the rub from The Undertaker while he's here. And in case he's not here next year, because Cena Undertaker is more of a, it's kind of a dead end match. Like, you know, John Cena is, while I do want to see that more than I'd want to see, you know, Roman Reigns and Undertaker, because of just the name and brand value and just the match itself, I think would be very good. It just doesn't lead anywhere because Undertaker is extremely limited on his time left. John Cena is turning 40 soon. He doesn't have a ton of time left. So that would be a match that really wouldn't do anything for anybody, at least the competitors in the match. So I get why Vince is doing it, saying, hey, while Undertaker's still here this year, we know he's here this year, let's give Roman, who has a lot more days in front of him, the rub. And so that's what I think is happening there. So, and one other thing. Everybody, and here's the rumor mill, but it seems to be kind of understood and believed, is that John Cena is going to propose to Nikki Bella after the match. If it is, it's the worst-kept secret in the world, and I'm sure Nikki Bella is well aware of this, that John Cena is going to propose to her after the match. What I'm interested to see is, maybe, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? And the show ends, they go out the ramp, end show, and next match, you know, next segment. I don't know. Is it possible Nikki says no as in a heel turn move, or Cena doesn't do it, or acts like he's going to and then turns heel on her, saying, you know, she doesn't deserve him? It's possible. That would be intriguing, because everybody just sees this match going the way it's going to go, and John Cena and Nikki winning, and John Cena proposing. So something's up here. It's just too easy. It's too simple. So keep an eye out. I don't have a comfortable feeling about it, as WWE likes to create these swerves. So heads up, you heard it here first on the WWE podcast. Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss. Not a bad match, but the problem is it's hard to invest with two heels going one-on-one. The crowd was quiet, but deservedly so. My question is, why the hell didn't Alexa go for the pin when she got that really good knockout punch on Mickie? I don't get it. She didn't go for the pin, but Mickie hits the Mick kick for the win after she got up, and yet another loss for a champion on television. Go back. How many times has a champion, whether it be Universal, whether it be the women's division is the biggest offender of the champion losing clean on TV? Nobody can gain any momentum by having the champions lose on television and then suddenly put it all together on a pay-per-view to retain. I just don't get it. All right, so here we go, guys. Shane shows up in the parking lot. Man, imagine being that late to your job, you know? Okay, AJ assaults him badly and throws Shane's head through a car window. There was blood. Daniel Bryan fires AJ and has him ejected from the building. And then I literally said, wait, they had a camera inside the car? Groan. Yeah, I'm not gonna rehash what I said about that. Mojo Rawley versus Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler intentionally gets counted out here after Mojo continued to get the best of him, throwing him over the top rope as they kind of did a little bit of a preview of the Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania, whatever. But it was at least a nice heel move by Ziggler, and Mojo seems to be benefiting by getting the spotlight without Zack Ryder. So this is time for Mojo to maximize his minutes. There's no better time. I think he's got a good look. He's got a good, thick, muscular body type. He just has to really, really maximize not just the minutes, the seconds that he has TV time right now. Without Zack Ryder, it's just him. Really push the envelope if I were him, because this may be the one and only shot that he has. Randy Orton addressing Bray Wyatt, and here's where people really were down. People were really down on this segment, and while I had big issues with it, I'm not as 100% down on it like some people were. So let me just kind of go through it here. I'm not so sure, first of all, that Bray won't get cheered at WrestleMania. I just don't know if that won't be the case, because Randy is just so vanilla. Randy is just the guy that just comes out there. He's awesome. He's a great athlete. He's an excellent wrestler. He can cut a good promo, but it's just like, you know, you look at his report card if he was a student, and you'd go C+, B-, C+, B-. Oh, there's a B. Oh, there's a B+. Oh, there's a C. He has been the just above average guy that just does what he needs to do to get through it and nothing more. There's no fire. He's so good that if it was anybody else in his position, just kind of going through the paces, it would look like total crap. But because he's so talented and so skilled and he's so just natural, just a natural athlete, he's able to cover the fact that he's going through the paces. That's why Randy Orton, and he's the most under... He's a guy that has all the potential in the world, but only uses a fraction of that potential. And so anyway, Randy goes over his entire plan he devised for months, and he says he destroyed the one thing that Bray loved, Sister Abigail. Wait, who's already dead, right? So fire is going to destroy a soul? I guess, is that real science? I don't get that. But he says he still has one step to climb, and at WrestleMania, he's going to take everything from Bray. Which, guys, and I know I brought this up, but I'll give credit where credit's due. The ProWrestling.net, Jason Powell, love his podcast. Good guy, and I really do think that he's one of the brighter minds in wrestling analysis and wrestling podcasts and wrestling websites. Him and Wade Keller, awesome. They're like the dream team of wrestling analysis. And he brought up a good point that the WWE seems to be having the same people write the same promos for different guys. Think about it. You have Baron Corbin say he's going to take everything from Dean Ambrose, including the Intercontinental Championship. You have Randy saying he's going to take everything from Bray Wyatt, including his WWE Championship. You have Brock Lesnar just seeking revenge, and oh yeah, he'll take the title while he's at it. And here's where I give Jason credit. He's bringing the fact up that they are not putting the focus on the belts, on the championships. That's a problem. You need to have guys fight for something that matters. I don't feel like these belts matter. It's just kind of like, I have a personal vendetta. I'm going to get my revenge and beat the hell out of you. And, oh yeah, by the way, I'll take the belt while it's there. You can't have an organization that has watered down prizes where it's like, eh, well, yeah, I'll take it. Why not? I'll take it if it's there. Like, that's how I feel about these belts. So, good point. Very true. So, we have Bray's music hit. And Bray says that Sister Abigail has not perished, but he's transferred her power to him. And he talks about being born again, and he's covering himself in dirt, kind of baptizing himself. I'm split. I see the logic where this is insanity, that all of this work, all of this time and effort Randy put in, and Bray's now stronger than ever with his magic tricks and Undertaker-like powers? How? I don't know. It just, I understand that part of it. It just doesn't make any sense. And the babyface looks stupid as Randy stands there with a blank look on his face. I get it. The argument to that is, the counter is, well, that's Bray's character. And he's the one guy that can actually make these magic tricks or hocus pocus or whatever you call it work. I think he's the one guy who can actually make it work because he's just got a good look. He can cut a creepy promo, although we don't even know what he's saying half the time. But I think he's the one guy who can make it work. I think the follow-up is going to be key. Okay, well, what powers did he get? It's just, I don't want them to go too hokey and too crazy with this because then it'll be completely unbelievable. It worked for The Undertaker. People believe in The Undertaker, even though he had these superhuman powers that he could turn off lights and create lightning bolts and rise from the dead and appear out of nowhere. I get all that. And we believed it. So why couldn't it be done again? Is Bray the guy to do it? He could be. I just don't want him to see. I don't want to see Bray be the next Undertaker. I want to see Bray Wyatt be Bray Wyatt. So I'm going to give this a chance, even though I'm siding a little bit with the, that's it. That's what we get. Is Bray Wyatt is stronger than ever. He destroyed his cabin, and I don't know. I would assume that Bray would be kind of a broken shell of himself. Instead, we just get the Bray Wyatt that was that's now hyped up on superpowers. I don't know. So I'm going to give it a chance. Corbin talks about saying he didn't cross a line in his world because there are no lines in his world, just actions and consequences. He says at WrestleMania he's going to take the IC belt from Ambrose and put him down for good. I'm enjoying this program. I really am. More than I thought I would, as I mentioned last week. So, final match, American Alpha versus the Usos. Not that it was advertised during the show. Not that WWE made a big deal of it. But it happened. And it's apparently the main event. The Usos win after a super kick. I guess it puts them in the title picture. Which is where they should be anyway. Shane comes out the last 10 seconds of the show. Literally the last 10 seconds of the show, and says that AJ Styles says he doesn't have an opponent at WrestleMania. Well, he does now. And the crowd, if you listen the last few seconds, is kind of mixed, as I'm mixed on that match. I think I would have been much higher on this program had it not been for that 3-second camera angle that they deemed was just a cool shot of Shane's head going through the car windshield. Yes, it was a cool shot if it was explained beforehand. Maybe. What if it was AJ Styles in the car beforehand and he set up a camera and said, guys, wait till you see what happens here. And he's talking to the camera inside the car. So as if AJ had set that up. Okay, I get it. Makes sense. If they had acknowledged the camera was there beforehand in some logical reason for it, okay, fine, I'll buy it. But just by happenstance that there was a camera there and then WWE instantly gets access to it in the back seat, perfectly positioned for that window, come on. Oh, and I realized I never talked about the Triple H Rollins angle. Best angle, best segment of the week, no question about it. I loved Rollins dropping the crutch, which I don't think anybody expected. Triple H cutting an amazing heel promo that actually struck chords, I think, within everybody. It kind of resembled the promo that he gave before he faced Roman Reigns last year at WrestleMania, where he was talking about how we're all fat and lazy, we're going to die alone and get divorced and eventually kill ourselves. Similar to that, but a little bit more realistic. And Stephanie talking about how we should all thank our bosses, and Mick Foley finally standing up for himself after he told everybody that Stephanie's the one that he feels should be the one to get fired, and then gives Mr. Sacco to Triple H. That was pretty cool, as Triple H threatened to beat up Mick Foley. Seth Rollins comes out and drops the crutch, which was an awesome moment. Really got the crowd behind him. The crowd was chanting Rollins, which I haven't heard in a while, very loudly. I think that's a very good sign, and you have Rollins get some retribution on Triple H, but it ends up being Triple H standing tall after he hits Seth in the leg with a crutch. So very, very good segment here. I think that's a match I'm really, really looking forward to. It's my top one or two that I'm looking forward to, and I'm happy that Seth Rollins is not going to be on the shelf for the second year in a row at WrestleMania. And just testament probably to his work ethic and everything else that he is going to be there. And I'm very excited for that match. But bravo to Triple H getting real good heel heat. And the only thing I have, and I'll end with this, is Stephanie giving Mick a low blow after he gets Mr. Sacco and Triple H. And I know that there are people out there that don't believe in man versus woman in WWE, in any professional sport, fake or not. And I shouldn't say fake. I should say fantasy environment or not. And I get it. I don't believe. Here's the thing. I do not want to see a man versus woman match. I don't. It's out of the realm of belief, because come on, guys. I mean, you have these male athletes that are superior athletes. It wouldn't be realistic for it to be a competitive match. I understand that WWE is a publicly traded corporation, and they have to be very sensitive of all of the domestic violence issues going on in WWE, in the world right now. And they have all these sponsors, and they're PG, and they have kids watching. So here's the message WWE is now giving the fans: that if you're a woman, you can slap the men, give them low blows as many times as you wish, and there can be no retribution. And I'll end with this. And I'll say it again, because it's a good word, and it's, I think, a very appropriate word for that logic. Bullshit. If you're a man, and in the real world, okay, if you're a man in the real world, I do not advocate beating women in the least. I think it's a cowardly thing to do. I do not advocate it in any shape, way, shape, or form. But I do believe in self-defense. And you're saying, well, you're a man, you're 10 times stronger. Well, if you're a woman, what the hell are you doing engaging the man physically to begin with? You're the dumbass. So in a fantasy environment, when there's a much lower risk and everything is predetermined, how is it okay sending the message that if you're a woman in WWE or really elsewhere, if you're that impressionable, then it's okay that you can get away with slapping men, giving them low blows, and the men just have to stand there and take it? Bullshit. That's what I have to say about that. How about that? So guys, I know it's probably a controversial thing. That's how I feel, and I do not apologize for how I feel, because I do not believe in anybody, beating on anybody, man or woman, and I do not believe in man-on-woman violence, but I do believe in self-defense, and that's where I'll stop. But again, guys, thank you for joining me. I'm gonna ride off into the sunset here. Again, the live format of the WWE podcast is coming very soon, maybe today. It'll be announced on my Twitter feed, so check that out. It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio under the WWE Podcast. Literally, that's the name, the WWE Podcast. So check me out there. Go to WWEPodcast.com and follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness. So guys, thank you for joining me. Again, you'll hear from me very soon in a live format where you guys can call me. We can talk WWE as WrestleMania season is under full swing. We're on the home stretch, and we only have 2 weeks until the big show. So guys, take care. And I'll talk to you next time.